Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we have finally made it to the finish line of the offseason. We are going to talk Penn State, Wisconsin to open the college football season for the Badgers. It's been a long offseason. If you've listened at all, before we get into things, I just wanted to say thank you for sticking with us and rocking with us all offseason. I know there were some times, and Matt can attest to this as well, there were some times this offseason where we didn't know what we were going to talk about. When the day started, we threw something together, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And if you listened, we really do appreciate it. And now now we get to the good stuff, which is talking football, previewing these games, getting excited for the college football season. So thank you again, and hopefully you guys will stick with us throughout this 2021 season. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. It is such an amazing feeling that there is college football. As of tonight, on Thursday when you're listening to this, there's also football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It is a glorious thing, and I'm so excited that college football's back.
Yeah, this week one slate is a beautiful thing, beautiful scene, ton of great games. Of course, Wisconsin-Penn State being the headliner for all of us, but a handful of others that will certainly catch a lot of college football fans' eyes. So great time of year, early September, to get back into football season. But before we talk Penn State, we do have a little bit of news, some good news on one end and some really bad news on the other end. So why don't we start with the bad news? And I'm sure if you're active on Twitter, you likely saw this news, and that's the dismissal of freshman running back Loyal Crawford and the suspension of freshman running back Antoine Roberts. Sounds like from the little bit of details and police reports we've got, there was an incident between the two involving also a knife and a weapon that way. So not something you want at all in general, especially not from two freshman running back that showed at least some promise coming into their respective careers. Really a weird incident. It's these things, I guess, happen, but you really don't want them to happen, and you hope and pray that they don't. Unfortunately, it got to a point where there was quite an incident with those two. So what do you make of and take from all of this? Because it's really a story that came out of left field, but all of a sudden took a lot of attention away from, of course, the upcoming opener against Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, the timing of this is silly season in terms of you're getting down to the end of fall camp. Pair of freshmen on the 22nd of August. And who knows what the true real story is. I know Loyal Crawford, freshman running back who was dismissed, took to Twitter to defend himself and say, hey, there's a lot more to this story. Antoine Roberts, the other freshman running back, has been suspended. So I think there's still moving pieces here, but it was interesting that the Badgers went with no comment. Here's what it is. I would anticipate that Paul Chryst will be asked about it tomorrow when there's availability. But, I mean, really just some boneheaded stuff here. I don't know what spurred it. I'm assuming that it wouldn't be something little. But really just these are young people, and really it's just sad to see that they've kind of thrown away an opportunity here. I know that Roberts is still – technically on the team and everything, but man, what a poor way to start off your career. And for Crawford, he was a talented kid out of Eau Claire, so it's tough to see an in-state kid struggle with that. I know that there was some questionable stuff from high school that came up about his social circle initially when they were recruiting him, but he got that cleaned up. So it's just really sad overall, and I hope the best for both of them. But at the same time, based off the information, I mean, a knife in a dorm room, of Ogg dorm room, that's, you're not going to be able to get away with that. I know Cropper was charged with disorderly conduct and disorderly conduct while armed. And who knows what exactly will come with Antoine Roberts. But at this point, I have a hard time seeing either of them having a career with the Badgers based off of this kind of lapse in judgment.
Yeah, really just unfortunate for all parties involved. You like you said, both of these players, you know, coming out of high school had promise. I know, you know, I remember watching tape, of course, on Antoine Roberts and Loyal Crawford, thought both of them, you know, there's a really good couple of gets, and hopefully they can both straighten out and figure out the next steps. And like you said, there's probably more to the story than what we've known. There most likely is. And of course, there's two sides to every story. But at the end of the day, it's certainly just an unfortunate situation for two young and promising players that were hoping to take their next step at the college level. So, and of course, the timing, like you said, just not great when there's other things going on. This is not what you want to be the center of attention for Wisconsin football with such a big contest coming up on Saturday. All right, yeah. The next piece. Oh, go ahead. You got anything more?
I was just going to add, like, now it makes it all the more important that Wisconsin took four running backs in this class of the 2021 class when you consider that Braylon Allen's probably going to play. At least that's what Paul Christ insinuated during the interview on Monday. But really, then you can then redshirt maybe Jackson Acker, and you've got a nice stable. And I coming into this fall, there was, you know, a lot of bodies in that room, but this kind of shake things up a little bit and opens up potentially a scholarship for the following season. So a lot of moving pieces. I'm sure the dust will settle here as time goes on, but the distraction for game week is not ideal.
Not ideal at all. All right, we'll go ahead to the next piece of news, which is more positive for sure. Wisconsin is hiring Stephen Scrum, formerly of Kent State, who was the director of player personnel over there. So with Saeed Khalif, of course, taking off to Michigan State, we've talked about it a little bit, that there was maybe some openings there, and you wondered what Wisconsin was going to go ahead and do. It looks like they found their guy to at least help in part of that. Certainly a strong get for the Badgers to start getting that position back up and running, because I know the attention right now is, of course, on the football season, but recruiting isn't something you can just put on the back burner and get back to later. So what do you make of that hire and Wisconsin getting back to that focus on the recruiting personnel?
In looking at it, this is all according to Football Scoop, and really just looking at this guy's LinkedIn profile, which is always fun to dive into. Graduated from Florida, has some time in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens as a scouting intern, and then as a player personnel intern. But then he's kind of bounced around with Maryland, Florida, and Northwestern, Akron, Syracuse, Kent State the last 3 years as their player personnel director. So he's got a good amount of experience, most of which has been in recruiting. Specifically, when you look at his last five jobs at Towson, Northwestern, Akron, Syracuse, and Kent State, all involving recruiting. I don't know if he's going to be the director with the Badgers, similar to what Khalif was, but at the same time, I think it's a solid hire for us in terms of a staffer, just given the fact that he has spent a lot of time in scouting and recruiting for across college football and as well as in the pros. I think that added ability to have seen it at the next level as well is important.
Yeah, and it's nice. I think Wisconsin here, when we talk about, we talked about this position a little bit in the past with them. We were kind of wondering when it was going to be, who it was going to be eventually to take at least some of that load and pick that part up. I'm glad that they took their time. It seems like they went out and did their due diligence, found a guy that they felt good about, and hopefully that will allow them to set themselves up as they move forward, because that was, I know it's not like, again, not on the front of everybody's mind, but that's recruiting, and recruiting personnel is a huge piece, and kudos to Wisconsin for getting through this awkward time with a little bit shorthanded, but now you want to make sure you've got the places in peace to move forward here.
especially with such a huge recruiting weekend this weekend, as well as Junior Days firing up today. I think it makes sense that the announcement came today. I mean, it wasn't a formal announcement by UW, but I doubt they will actually put together an official announcement. But he's got his Twitter updated to it as well, so it seems like it's trending in that direction.
There you have it. All right, that wraps up the news. So why don't we go into some game action, Wisconsin opening up the season against Penn State. So just to give you guys a reminder of how our game preview episodes work, Matt and I will, of course, talk through the game, talk expectations for both sides of the ball, everything like that. We'll go through some score predictions. We'll do some Big Ten picks at the end. Then in the back half of the show, we have an interview with usually an insider from our sister website or someone familiar with the opponent program. Today we have Bill DeLaFippo. He's with Upper Rocks and Roar Lions Roar. He came on the show and gave some good insight to what Penn State will look like this year, because the moving pieces for them, a new offensive coordinator and a bunch of new faces, especially up front on the defensive line. So we'll get into that in the back half of the show. But we'll start for us. I mean, coming into this game, I think this game is super intriguing. You've got both teams that had down years compared to their history. I mean, usually you're talking about Penn State and Wisconsin. You're talking about 9, 10, 11 win seasons that you're contending for division titles, and you're a team, you know, high up in the top 25. Didn't have that last year, of course. Wisconsin very much up and down. Penn State started the year very low, 0-5, came back and won 4 straight against some of the bottom feeders of the Big Ten. But they're still coming into this game riding high with that win streak, some changes. But overall, what are your feelings, expectations, kind of thoughts on the season opener?
I mean, this is one of the bigger season openers that I can imagine. I know you can go back to LSU and some of the other times where they've played a major opponent to open up the season, but really the fact that this is a conference game against a team that is of similar caliber, really talented team as well, and I think this is one of those games that can really make or break your season in a lot of ways right off the jump. And I was talking to my brothers a little bit, and we were texting, and this is the type of game that you should know a lot about the Badgers after this game, assuming that Penn State is improved from a year ago. There's just so many question marks for both teams on offense. Penn State, entirely new offensive coordinating staff, their third offensive coordinator in 3 years. For the Badgers, you've got guys back healthy. What can they contribute? What kind of difference does that make from a team that was inconsistent at times running the ball and consistent at times throwing the ball? And just what does the defense look like? Are they able to replicate 2019, 2017, and really putting that together? I think there's a lot of storylines in this game that I think are going to go a long way, and I'm just excited to see it in person, and I think that it's going to be a hell of a game overall.
Yeah, I think the excitement is really high. We've talked so much this offseason about different situations, but now we get to see it, and of course, been to practice, but until you see it in a game action, it's hard to really know what exactly this team is going to be. And like you said, I think a lot of questions will be answered, and the team that does come out on top can really get a big jump on the season, because this is a high quality top 25 win that if you lose, you're back certainly against the wall, but if you win, you're set up really well moving forward. So why don't we start with the Wisconsin offense? Of course, that was the unit that struggled quite a bit more, but you hope, and we've talked about it, we don't need to go in depth of what Wisconsin's offense will be. You guys know, and we've previewed it a lot, but this Penn State defense comes into the season, I think it looks like a pretty strong secondary linebacker, a lot of familiarity there. Up front is really the question for them. A lot of new faces on the defensive line. I believe of the 21 sacks they had last year, half of them were from guys that have now either, you know, moved on to the next level or left the program. So there's definitely some replacement that will need to be done there for Penn State. So with Wisconsin's offense coming in, some unknowns there, some unknowns against the unit they're going against. How do you expect Wisconsin's offense to approach taking it to this Penn State defense?
I anticipate that the Badgers are going to really try to attack the middle, and the outsides of the running game. I think Wisconsin has maybe an upper hand in with their offensive line compared to the defensive line with Penn State. When you look at the fact that they lost their top returning defensive end to an injury for the season. They are replacing so many of those their edge rushers, as well as the Badgers just have a couple guys inside that can really quickly get off the ball in Joe Tippmann as well as Jeff Nelson. And I think that Wisconsin's going to have some room to run the ball, hopefully, against this team. That was something that Penn State struggled with a little bit last year at times. They, you know, overall, their total defense, they were in the top 20. But rushing defense, they were 26th. And at times, they struggled with tackling, especially early in the season. So I think Wisconsin, if they're able to establish the run early, it would really help this offense out. And I think that that's going to be something that they're really going to go out of their way to do. Based off of the fact that they struggled with it last year. There was times where they were inconsistent in being able to churn out 5 yards a carry. But I think that this offensive line, which is a little younger, a little bit more retooled, should be solid. And I think that they have the advantage against Penn State's front four. Penn State's got some really talented linebackers that I think can help plug some of those holes. But overall, I do think that that's going to be something to watch. Penn State's got a solid secondary, though, and a lot of veterans, a lot of bodies and depth back there. I'm also fascinated to see just how much the Badgers let it rip in the passing game, or if they do kind of just try to keep things simple and try to run the ball at Penn State, because I do think that's where their advantage lies.
Yeah, I think overall the play calling is going to be a fascinating thing to pay attention to. Of course, Paul Chris taking back over the play calling. I've always thought he has a really good understanding of the flow of a game, you know, when to hit him with a run, when to go with a play action, when to go with the pass, mix it up, you know, maybe, you know, throwing the ball on running downs, vice versa, especially when you get Paul, you know, aggressive Paul Chris, it's a really fun sight to watch, but I don't know how much he'll open that up early on. So I think it'll be important to try and find that balance, establish the run, but also keep that defensive line that is young and new and inexperienced, you know, on their toes a little bit. So I think the run game's going to be super important. But I think in terms of how they attack, it's probably a mixed bag. But I think that's a good thing, because you're going to hopefully keep that Penn State defense guessing a little bit. Because I think when you look at the young parts that they have, they're still super talented. This is a Penn State team and a Penn State program that has recruited really well over the last couple of years. So these guys aren't slouches in there. If they have the ability to just pin their ears back and rush the passer, that they'll be able to pick that up no problem. But if Paul Chris is trying to hit them with different things, different looks, you know, running the ball, maybe some screens and things like that, I think you'll be set up to really hopefully get this offense sparked a little bit after last year, where they were stagnant and sometimes over-reliant on the pass just out of pure necessity.
Yeah, and Wisconsin does their best in the passing game when it's coming off of play action and when they're being variable in their attack. If Wisconsin has to just drop back, like you mentioned, it doesn't matter if they're inexperienced edge rushers. Penn State's going to take advantage of that, and especially given how talented Penn State's secondary is. So I agree with you. I just think running the ball is going to be incredibly important in this game, and Wisconsin needs to be able to do it at a good clip, because Chez Moussi is going to be taking on a very different role than what he's accustomed to. But I do think that they need to get the ball in his hands as well as Berger's hands in multiple ways.
All right, why don't we go ahead and take a look now at the Wisconsin defense. So this Penn State offense comes in, of course, headlined with Sean Clifford, Jahan Dotson at wide receiver, two guys that have played a lot of football for them. But they're in their third offensive system in 3 years with offensive coordinator Mike Yurkich, who, if you guys aren't familiar with, he was previously with Texas, Ohio State, and then Oklahoma State, known for really explosive offenses. And, of course, James Franklin brought him in to try and bring some of that explosiveness to the Nittany Lions, because last year they really didn't have a ton of big explosive plays. Sean Clifford struggled. The offensive line struggled a little bit. So how that new system is going to go is going to be fascinating, because you really don't – I mean, you can go back and watch tapes. You know, of course, last year the system that Texas ran was this system, but it's hard to really take that and be able to just pick it piece for piece on what they're going to do. So how do you think Wisconsin's defense will try to stop this? Because you know Penn State is going to look for those explosive plays and try to get the ball in some of their strong receivers and running backs' hands early and often.
Yeah, Penn State's going to want to run the ball. They've got the luxury of having a bunch of talented tailbacks, including Noah Kane, who's back healthy. But I'm interested to see how the Badgers do against that interior of the offensive line of Penn State. Penn State has kind of some things up in the air in that interior. They're going to be still mixing some guys in at guard and center. So can Wisconsin, can Keanu Benton, can Leo Chenal up the middle on some blitzes take advantage of that and get into the backfield to put some pressure on Sean Clifford, who did struggle at times last year when pressure was in his face. That's when that led to interceptions, that led to inaccuracy. So I think that's going to be the big thing, is that Jim Leonard's going to probably bring pressure and bring it up the middle where they're the least fortified, because their tackles are solid. They're really mm-hmm. talented kids. Those are both four-star kids that have high ceilings, both potential NFL guys. But the interior, I think they're a little bit weaker. So I think that's where they're gonna attack it. But I think really this is gonna come down to, can they stop the two wide receivers outside, specifically Jahan Dotson, who's one of the top wide receivers in the Big Ten. Elite quickness, really good in and out of his breaks. I mean, he's a dude. Whether he's in as a wide receiver or as a punt returner, he's a game tilter. And so I think Wisconsin's gonna really have to shadow him. Maybe they have a guy like Fayon Hicks on him at all times, or maybe that goes across the board and they shift some things. But I think that they're gonna have to bracket him. They're gonna have to do a lot and force Sean Clifford to beat you, because Clifford has shown an ability to run at times, but we haven't necessarily seen Clifford take that next step as a quarterback and be a guy who's going to put you on his back and win you a game. So force him to do it, because you want to shut down that running attack and Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, it's certainly a really strong offense in the skill positions. When you look at it, I mean, this is probably, in terms of the Wisconsin secondary and the wide receivers that they face, this is probably the best wideout group that they might see all season, maybe Notre Dame, and probably the best group they've seen since Ohio State in the Big Ten title game a couple of years ago. I mean, last year there weren't a ton. Indiana last year, but of course they were banged up at quarterback, so that was a good test. But this will be a really good test for the secondary, which I think will be pretty strong, but they're going to be going against some really good wideouts. And you know, it's not just one, they've got a couple running backs, so it likely comes down to that offensive line and, of course, Sean Clifford, who we've mentioned a little bit, had a rough year, you know, in and out last year, you know, with Will Levis, their backup, a year ago. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup to watch from a lot of different aspects. So to kind of focus in on that, what is like the one key thing you're watching for, or the one key matchup that you're going to have your eyes on Saturday?
I'm watching Jahan Dotson versus Wisconsin's secondary. I kind of wrote about that a little bit earlier today. And I mean, he's a low 4.3 speedster. He can do a lot when he gets the ball in his hand. So, one, can Wisconsin limit his touches? And two, can they bring him down in the open field when he does get the opportunity to have the ball in his hands? Because I still remember the tackling woes that this team had in 2013 when the Badgers dropped that game. Again, they shouldn't have lost in any which way against Penn State and Christian Hackenberg. So I think that's what I'm watching is can they stop that guy? Because he's the guy that's going to beat you, where they can just throw it to him and let him do his thing. But if Wisconsin can limit his touches, I think the ground game isn't going to be able to move Wisconsin as much as they would like. I think the Wisconsin's front seven is just too stout for that. It's going to rely on the arm of Clifford, and Wisconsin needs to make sure that he's having to throw to people other than Dotson, because Parker Washington's a really talented player and a player that Wisconsin fans will probably remember because he took an official visit to the Badgers. But at the same time, he is not as talented as Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson is one of the best in the country, and Wisconsin's going to have their hands full. But I think that's the thing is you got to tackle well. You cannot let him get in the open field like Ishmar Smith Marset from Iowa did last year, where he was just able to you know, pick the Badgers apart. They've got to tackle well, and that starts this Saturday.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's the one that you have to keep your eye on. A couple others, I think the other big battle is going to be, you know, it's Big Ten football. It's going to be who wins in the trenches for Wisconsin offensively to go at this defensive line, but also defensively for them to get some pressure. You mentioned the interior linemen be a little bit mixed up, shaken up. I think Jim Leonard's defense is predicated on pressure. You're going to need to get some pressure on a guy like Sean Clifford, and if you can get in his face and make him make mistakes, that will hopefully take some of the pressure off of your secondary, who's going to be covering some really high quality receivers. So it all kind of works as one cohesive unit as you move forward. All right, we always do this last year we started doing this. Which player do you think we'll be talking about come Sunday?
I think the easy answer is Graham Mertz and as well as Sean Clifford, just because the quarterback position is so important. But I think for me, I think the player that's really we're going to be able to have a lot of discussion about is going to be Ches Malusi and his play. We don't really know what to expect from him. The Badgers have a kid who came in and just won the running back battle over the presumptive favorite in Berger. And so I think how many touches does he get and what can he do with the ball in his hands is going to be a really intriguing thing for me to watch. And I think that we're going to be talking a lot about his play come Sunday, because I do think he's going to have a good game and make the most of his opportunities.
I like that pick a lot. I think he's going to be really crucial to establishing the run, getting that offense in a balanced position where they can hopefully spark plug a run game that struggled last year. For me, I'll go ahead and say maybe the mix of Keanu Benton and Leo Chenal. The guys inside, I think you could see a lot where Keanu Benton is causing havoc, but maybe not showing up in the stat sheets in terms of tackles and sacks. And Leo Chenal is a guy that's maybe coming down and really attacking that middle of that Penn State offensive line and hopefully creating pressure and really attacking and getting in there and disrupting plays. We know that we've talked about it so much. He's a guy that has the potential to be a disruptor, and I think likely will, and they've got an opportunity for those two up the middle to really kind of try and feast on a younger and inexperienced offensive line that is going to be playing in front of, in terms of home field advantage this year. It'll be even more ruckus crowd, I hope, at Camp Randall on Saturday morning, afternoon. So I'll circle those two as guys that I think we could be really talking about as we move forward.
Oh, I think those are great picks as well, specifically Benton. I think he's going to be able to do some nice things in that game. And I think Chenal is just, primed for a huge year.
All right. Well, that brings us to the score prediction. What do you have as your thinking for a result? And what will be the final score Saturday afternoon?
I mentioned that game that I still have nightmares about in the Badgers tackling. I think Wisconsin's going to flip the script. That year they lost 24-31 to Penn State, a down Penn State team who was, littered with a bunch of guys that weren't able to play, as well as a bunch of guys live with because of limited scholarships. So I'm going to say that the Badgers turn it around this time and they win 31-24. I think this is going to be a close game, but I do think that Wisconsin will pull away. The money is going towards Wisconsin here, and I do think that just home field advantage this year, especially early as teams are trying to get back into the swing of being it with a hostile crowd, I think it's going to favor the Badgers, and I think it's going to go Wisconsin's way.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think Wisconsin right now comes in, in a good spot. I kind of like that they're catching this Penn State team to open the season. When you talk about they've got new faces up front on defense, they've got a new offensive system that they're putting in where maybe that might hinder them a little bit, and having to try and implement those things on the road in a hostile environment. I think, well, Wisconsin has questions of their own. I think the Badgers have a little bit less, and you get this game at home, which will hopefully benefit, and hopefully they got some of that other stuff that plagued them last season cleaned up. So I'll go 27-23. I think it'll be a close game. I'm hoping that I'm wrong, and that that Wisconsin defense just comes out and prevents them from getting to even 23. But I think it'll be around there, maybe tight, low scoring early, and then the Badgers pull away. But maybe Penn State makes it interesting. So I think right around the numbers 5.5 in terms of the spread. I think that's a lot of points, and the total I think is right on the spot of 50 right now. So I'll go 27-23. Wisconsin picks up a huge win to start the season.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin can get things going offensively if it's not a lower score for by Penn State, just because, like you mentioned, their offense trying to get in rhythm. And I totally agree. I think this is a Penn State team that's going to be much improved come like week six, where they have established their identity on offense and can move the ball a little bit more. I think Wisconsin lucked out to have them early, and I think that the Badgers are going to cover the spread.
All right, there you have it. We've got predictions for you on the Penn State-Wisconsin game. We'll get to now some picks for the rest of the Big Ten schedule. A ton of games, of course, starting Thursday night with Ohio State, Minnesota. I think we're both probably going to be in agreement here, but who do you have winning that Ohio State and Minnesota contest?
I think it'll be Ohio State will win, but I do think it's going to be closer than expected just because of I think their stadium, TCF Bank, is going to be rocking because they're going to have the number four team in the country in town. And just I do think that Minnesota will be better than they were last year. And Ohio State is still trying to work in a new quarterback. So I think that will lead to it maybe being closer than you would expect. But I do think that Ohio State will take care of the Gophers.
Yeah, I think straight up you got to pick Ohio State here. I think Minnesota will give them a good test. I mean, Ohio State breaking in a new quarterback, breaking in some new pieces on the defensive side at the linebacker position. And Minnesota, while they did have a down year, I think they get some guys back, and they're a very experienced team at home. Maybe keep that close. I know the spread's sitting right at 14, which is got a lot of attraction from both sides of the number, but I'll take Ohio State straight up. Moving on down the line, Western Michigan is going to the Big House to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Who do you have in that contest?
I got Michigan. I think they'll take care of business. I'm interested to see what they look like in under new leadership at the quarterback position, but I do think that they will coast over Western Michigan.
I'm going to go with in agreement with you there. I know Western Michigan's a team that brings back a lot of experience, and that will benefit them and the MAC. Maybe if you're looking at the points, but plus 17 is maybe a little appetizing, but I do think Michigan has enough talent on their roster to at least find a way to win this game despite a hostile little in-state smaller school coming to them. All right, up next, an interesting one, Oregon State traveling to Purdue. What do you have in that contest?
I think that's going to be a really good game. I think those are equally matched teams in a lot of ways, especially when you look at where they stand in the pecking order of their respective conferences. I think for me, just looking at these two teams, I'm going to go with the home team and really just once again look at, okay, well, who's home? And that's Purdue in this case. So you're looking at body clock from Oregon State coming all the way to Purdue, switching time zones. I'm going to go with the Boilermakers.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and be a little different here. I'm going to take Oregon State. It's not really a testament to Oregon State. I just don't really like anything Purdue has right now.
David Bell's is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just so that's a little bit messy as we move forward. And so I'll take them just because it's hard to even know what Purdue's got. I mean, you look, David Bell, George Karloftis on defense, and then who knows. So, all right, up next we'll go ahead. Oh, we missed one Thursday game in Temple and Rutgers before we get to the rest of the Saturday slate. Who do you like in that matchup?
Go with Rutgers just because I think they'll be better, but I wouldn't be shocked if Temple makes things interesting.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't know what Temple's going to be, so I'll go with Rutgers with the return of the fans for the home opener with Greg Schiano. All right, another Saturday contest, interesting one. Of course, Illinois coming in off their big win, getting UT San Antonio, which it looks like a pretty talented team coming in. I think you look at one, it would be funny if UTSA came in and knocked them off after a big win, but who do you like in this matchup?
I'm going to go with Illinois, but once again, I wouldn't be shocked if UTSA makes that interesting. I think they're a really talented team that can do some nice things. So I would put them on upset alert as a team that especially coming off that big win, like you mentioned, it's possible.
Yeah, I think I'll go ahead and call it because this is one I had circled as soon as that Illinois game wrapped up. I'll take UTSA because I think it's a really interesting sandwich spot. You got Nebraska. They've got Illinois. Got Virginia next week. Art Sitkowski, I just don't buy it. I think this is a team where you all of a sudden you're really high with Illinois, and then you might drop down to the lowest of the low. So I'll go ahead and call the upset alert. I think the Roadrunners with Sincere McCormick might pull off the upset there. All right. We've got a Friday night game as well. Michigan State heading to Evanston to take on Northwestern. Who do you like in that contest?
That's going to be a rock fight, I think, at this point. Like, I just have a hard time figuring out this game. I don't know what Hunter Johnson's going to be, you know, back for as the starter. Michigan State hasn't even named their starting quarterback yet. So I'm going to just, once again, I'm going to run with the home team here and say Northwestern. I know they're losing a ton here, but at the same time, I don't know where Michigan State is at in terms of their development under Mel Tucker yet.
Yeah, I think for me, I wouldn't love either side of this game. I'm going to take Michigan State just because I know I've been harping on all of what Northwestern's lost, and I know it's still that home field magic of Ryan Field and Evanston, but I just think it's a lot to try and replace, so I've been harping on it all season. I've got to stick with it here. All right, we'll go to now West Virginia and Maryland. Really interesting game Saturday, 3:30 on ESPN. Who do you like in that one?
Neither, once again. But I'll say West Virginia just because I have a hard time seeing that the Big Ten is going to make a clean sweep. I think Maryland might be the better team, but at the same time, you never know in opening games. Maybe West Virginia gets them looking. I love their head coach for West Virginia. Maybe he can get them going, Neil Brown.
Yeah, this one's for me. I'm going to go with Maryland because I did pick them as the surprise team, so it would be a very big letdown spot for them to drop that one to start the season at home. But I think this will be an underrated game and a really strong slate that people should pay attention to. All right, maybe another one of the headliners for the Big Ten, Indiana traveling to Iowa for their opener, 2:30 on the Big Ten Network. Who do you like in that one?
I'm going to go with Iowa. I just have a hard time seeing the ball bounce away as many times as it did last year. Once again, this year, tough schedule to open up their year. But really, I think this is a game that they're going to win, and then it'll kind of set up that Iowa State-Iowa game to even a higher level than it was going into this week.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Indiana just benefited from a lot of bounces last year. It's hard to repeat that in Iowa. Is a team I think is pretty well suited to maybe be a little bit under the radar, especially in this one. So I'll go ahead and agree with you with the Hawkeyes there. All right, to wrap it up, Fordham taking on Nebraska. Is there any chance Scott Frost drops this one, or do they go ahead and take care of a business against Fordham?
I can't imagine that they would lose this one. But boy, oh boy, if they drop that one, there's no way he's making the bus ride home.
I agree with you. It would be hilarious, but I can't go ahead and put out on a limb that Nebraska will be falling on that one. All right, guys, that wraps up our portion of the show. We hope you enjoyed it. It was fun to be back talking some football, making some predictions. Now we got our ad reads. We'll get those out of the way, and then we'll get into our interview with Bill DeFippo of Roar Lions Roar. He hopped on to give us an even bigger insider info on the Penn State Nittany Lions. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that, and hopefully you guys will enjoy the contest on Saturday. So stick with us through our ad reads. We'll be back with you shortly.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Badger fans, we are now joined by our Penn State insider, Bill DeFillippo of Up Rocks and Roar Lions Roar blog. Very insightful into everything Penn State and the Nittany Lions. So if you guys are looking for more insider info, make sure to go check them out over there. Really intriguing matchup on deck, so we're happy to have you on. Bill, before we get into it, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Tyler. As I mentioned to you before we started, I was literally in the midst of doing a Wisconsin preview with Drew Hamm. So it all worked out incredibly well that you hit me up 5 minutes into that. I'm glad to take some of the knowledge that I think I got from that one and apply it to here to make it sound like I know what I'm talking about.
There you go. There you go. Well, we can hop right into it. I mean, last year, obviously, a weird year for everyone in the world. I mean, Wisconsin football, Penn State as well. You know, Penn State, in one way, started lowest, kind of a lowest, going 0-5, but rebounded to 4-5. So, as a fan base, how much do you take from that year? Because I know Wisconsin fans try not to take too much, but sometimes you really look deep into it. So, what was last year kind of like, and how much can you really take to try and gain from that?
So for me personally, last season was great because, I had I got a dog that showed up in the fourth quarter of the Penn State Indiana game, and then Penn State lost that game. And those two things coming together, led to me going, yeah, I don't really care about this. But in all seriousness, it was a weird year for Penn State, as it was for a lot of college football teams. It was just kind of a Murphy's Law thing, where everything that could go wrong for the Nittany Lions did go wrong before the season even started. Micah Parsons, their star linebacker, opted out, and by the time the Big Ten decided it was going to play a season, you know, Micah had already done all the stuff that he was supposed to do to get ready for the NFL draft and lost his college eligibility. Journey Brown, their star running back, was ruled out with a heart condition just before the start of the season. So basically the two bedrocks of Penn State's team, their star running back, who they thought had the potential to be an All-American, and their star linebacker, who they thought had the potential to be the best defensive player in the country, were out just like within a month of the season starting. Add in the fact that they brought in a brand new offensive coordinator and a new, brand new offensive line coach, and neither of them really got to do anything in the lead up to the season. And just little bit by little bit, that first game against Indiana, you know, Penn State had it won. Indiana wins with a controversial 2-point conversion that, you know, there's, I know a lot of people in my neck of the woods still think Michael Penix for short, but they lose that. They then lose to Ohio State the week after, which, you know, obviously no shame in losing to Ohio State. But then the following week, demolished by Maryland. Following week, struggled against Nebraska. Following week, demolished by Iowa. And by the time that Michigan game rolled around and they started to turn their season around, there's just kind of a general sense of apathy. And I say all of that to say, in the lead up to this season, it seems like there are a lot of Penn State fans who are just really worried, you know, optimistic about what this team has the potential to be, because there's a lot of talent, there's a new offensive coordinator in, all these sorts of things, but a little bit worried because, like last season, Penn State is starting it off with a really, really tough road trip against a really, really good team. And there's just a general sense of fear that, you know, maybe last year wasn't everything going wrong. Maybe last year was a sign of something a little, you know, the roots in this program being a little more rotten than we thought. James Franklin has kind of made that his mantra, that last year is last year. They're going to be moving on to this year, and they're feeling really good about where they are. But, you know, you just have that little voice in the back of your head, I think, as a fan base going, yeah, you know what, I just don't know. And ultimately, that's it. A lot of Penn State fans are just waiting to see what ends up happening at Camp Randall this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's similar feelings for a lot of Badger fans with the way last year went, just some things that hopefully were last year, but until you see it in front of you,
right,
it's hard to know. But I'm glad you mentioned the offensive coordinator, of course, the third coordinator in 3 years, but in steps Mike Yurkic, who, for listeners that don't know, known for some explosive offenses previously with Oklahoma State and Ohio State and Texas. So a guy that comes in as someone who really knows what they're doing on the offensive side of the football. What do you expect to see from the offense that maybe will be different this year compared to last with, of course, a new OC?
Well, I'm going to just mention who the offensive coordinator was before Mike Yurkic, because I think I think Wisconsin fans will have a pretty good idea of the kind of football this dude wanted to play, but his name was Kirk Soraka. Mm-hmm. He was the offensive coordinator at Minnesota during that one really magical season where I believe they won 10 games and ended up beating Penn State. But Soraka was a little – he was a bit of a weird fit kind of from the beginning. The way that James Franklin has – The way that James Franklin has wanted his offense to play, and he's been very clear about this, he wants Penn State to win the turnover battle, which every coach wants that. And then the big thing that Penn State wants is big plays. Penn State wants its offense to be a big play offense, one that is going to throw haymakers and really get the defense rattled. I mean, there's for the fans of the work of Bill Connelly out there, that is basically – part of what his four factors are in determining SP plus, winning big plays and how they are able to impact the football game. Penn State really didn't have a lot of big plays last year, and it's unclear whether or not that was Soraka's hire, the circumstances under which the coach that I just laid out a second ago about coming in and not getting to work with guys, or if that was just a matter of Journey Brown getting – being unable to play, Sean Clifford not really understanding the offense, some really young options at wide receivers, standout tight end Pat Freiermuth getting hurt, all these sorts of things. But at the end of the day, Penn State ultimately decided we want to move on. They brought in Mike Yurcich, who is an offensive coordinator who comes from – he was at Oklahoma State, and he did some really, really fun things there. He was the guy who was the offensive coordinator during – the years of those really good Mason Rudolph teams that always seemed like they were playing basketball on grass. Went up to Columbus for a year, spent the year under Ryan Day, the first year of Justin Fields' time. I don't believe he called plays or anything like that, but he has that little bit of background. And then last year went to Texas, where, again, another program that wanted to make big plays behind, you know, under Tom Herman. So he brings what I think is a little bit more in line with what James Franklin wants. Whether or not it's going to be a lot of trying to recapture the magic that Penn State had under Joe Moorhead, or whether it's completely giving the reins over to Yurcich and saying, Mike, this is your show, do something special with it, that remains to be seen. But as I talk to Penn State fans, one of the big reasons that I hear for optimism is the fact that they're bringing in an offensive coordinator who – seems like he has a level of ruthlessness around him that Penn State has maybe been lacking the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think back to some of those offenses of Oklahoma State, and you can definitely see why there would be some excitement to put up some points there. I'm kind of glad Wisconsin's getting them that opening week before maybe things get settled in. But heading up the offense, of course, is a familiar name that Badger fans likely know in Sean Clifford. Of course, up and down year last year, you mentioned, you know, him maybe struggling to learn the offense, kind of getting, you know, him and Will Levis going interchanging for what seemed like a few games. Ooh. How do you think he now responds in 2021? Because, again, I know we could talk about 2020, but what do you expect maybe from him going into this year?
So my entire thing with Sean Clifford has been, I think that when the game gets a little bit too fast and a little bit too hectic and he gets thrown out of a rhythm, that's when it seems like he runs into issue. I mean, there was a quote that Jahan Dotson, Penn State star wide receiver, gave today where and apologies, this is not the direct quote, but it's just someone who was at the press conference said, I feel like the biggest area is Sean's decision-making. Coach Yurcich, when he came in, he felt like Sean had too much of his plate. He was worried about too much and that Yurcich has come in and taken a load off Clifford's shoulders and he's now just playing football. And I think that's about right. When you watched Sean Clifford really over his 2 years at Penn State, when he's really just out there playing and he's in a rhythm, and this is part of the reason why I'm so worried about playing Wisconsin week one, when he's out there and he's just playing and he's just doing his thing, he has a really good arm. He's able to make plays happen. You know, a few years before, you know, that 2019 season, his accuracy was down a little bit. He completed 60.6% of his passes last year compared to 59.2% the year before. But I think that was because they got him more comfortable with attacking opposing defenses down the field. Obviously, part of that was having an NFL wide receiver in KJ Hamler, but Clifford in 2020, 7.5 yards per attempt, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. year before that, 8.3 yards per attempt, 23 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. So there's a good quarterback in there. And I think that's the thing, like, that's really the thing that's going to determine this Penn State season, whether or not we're able to get a Sean Clifford who isn't, you know, doesn't have happy feet, isn't trying to force throws, isn't trying to win games by himself. And it sounds like that has been a priority for Mike Yurcich ever since he got the Happy Valley, which is something that I think has the potential to be really beneficial to Penn State football this season.
I think the other thing I wanted to ask quickly offensively was the offensive line. I know last year there were some times where it got a little leaky, a lot of pressure and sacks. Where does the line look this year compared to last? I think when I was reading up on some preseason write-ups and stuff, sounds like there's some new faces on that line to maybe try and shore up that front.
Well, it's actually very interesting that you say that, because I mentioned Soraka coming in as the new offensive coordinator. The other big change that Penn State made heading into last season was it parted ways with its former offensive line coach and brought in Phil Troutwine, formerly a player at Florida, had a little NFL career, but was the offensive line coach at Boston College and viewed as, you know, an upstart name in offensive line coaching, was a very good player while he was at Florida and won a couple of rings. The issue was that despite the fact that Penn State's offensive line was quite talented last season, had a guy who at one point, I believe, was a 5-star center in Michael Mennett, former 4-star tackle Will Fries, pair of guys played a lot of football. They just didn't have a lot of time to learn what they needed to do out there. And when your offensive line struggles, everything else struggles. But coming into this season, Penn State has a bunch of guys who have played a decent amount of football. Left tackle Rasheed Walker is a guy who I think has some NFL potential. While there's only one other guy who has had extended run as a starter in Mike Miranda, who's going to be playing center after being a guard in the past, the other three guys along Penn State's offensive line, Des Holmes and Juice Scruggs at the guards and Cade Wallace at the other tackle, all this is presumed, they're guys who have played a decent amount of football, even if it hasn't been in a starting role. The other name to watch there is a guy by the name of Eric Wilson, a grad transfer from Harvard. Obviously, they didn't play last season, and is expected to come in and push for one of those guard spots. So I'm actually really excited to watch the offensive line play, because I did feel like it was a bit of a letdown last year because of circumstances outside of their control. And now they've had that full offseason. Now they've had plenty of time to learn, and I'm just really fascinated seeing what they are able to do now that they have had time to actually, you know, for lack of a better word, figure out what they're doing out there.
Talk a lot of offense. Let's switch to defense here and talk about, I know there was some new faces coming into the defensive line, it sounds like, and then you know, a lot of returning production maybe in the linebacker room. Of course, you mentioned Mike Parsons not being there last year. He's, of course, a name that maybe Badger fans were familiar with, but he's now looking pretty good in Hard Knocks for the Dallas Cowboys. But what do you take from the Penn State defense right now? Because I know last year big amount of points in the early part of the season during that losing streak, but really seemed to tighten it up in the latter half of the year.
So I feel pretty good about the back seven of Penn State's defense. It has a couple of 5-star linebackers in Brandon Smith and Curtis Jacobs, with a guy in the middle in Ellis Brooks, who's played a lot of football and is really, you know, is a really good footballing brain. He's not exactly the dynamic athlete that you might expect, but he's a guy who knows where to be, who knows where to get other guys to be, and the secondary's potential to be one of the best in the country. Joey Porter Jr. and Tariq Castro Fields both played a ton of football, and when, at least in Castro Fields' case, when he's been healthy, but they've both been exceptional when they have been out here. Porter was a revelation for Penn State last season. Jaquan Brisker is one of the best safeties in the country. They need to figure out the guy next to him. That sounds like it's going to be a guy by the name of Jair Brown, who played a little bit last season, but seems like he's done a really good job grabbing a starting job. The question, and this is why I absolutely hate that they, at least from the defensive perspective, that they are playing Wisconsin week one, is that Penn State has a lot of questions on its defensive line. Both of its ends from last season, Shaka Toney and Odafe Owe, have moved on to the NFL. They have questions at defensive tackle beyond one dude. P.J. Mustafer was a really good player for them last season. And then defensive end, they suffered a huge loss in the guy they thought was going to turn into the anchor of that pass rush, Adisa Isaac, getting hurt before the season and now being out for the – I believe he's out for the duration here. I'm not 100% certain on that, though. So Penn State's defensive line is a bunch of questions. I think if Wisconsin ends up winning this game, it is because they are going to toss Penn State around in the trenches. But like a lot of defensive lines, it's a group with talent. It's a group with guys who – have played a little bit of football. Mustafers and Fred Hansard are the two guys who played a ton for Penn State. Duke grad transfer tackle Derek Tangelo and Temple grad transfer defensive end Arnold Ebiketti have played a lot at their various schools. But that's a big old question mark, and that's probably the thing that you need to look out for heading into this game. It's just, is Penn State able to win up front with any amount of consistency? Because that – if they can't, it might be a very long day for this Penn State defense because of how Wisconsin's able to run the football.
Yeah, it seems like a game that is really, you know, it's Big Ten football, getting one in the trenches, but that's certainly going to be a matchup to watch for as you move forward into Saturday. All right, to end it, Bill, why don't we go ahead, give us your – I don't know if you like giving score predictions or not. I know sometimes people don't like it, but give us your prediction for Saturday from a Penn State perspective.
God. It's so – tough, man.
It is.
Because, like, I could see anything, honestly, anything happening in this game. I could see Penn State has not lost to Wisconsin since 2011. They've played three times since then. Once in Madison, when Bill O'Brien and Gary Anderson was around, twice with James Franklin and Paul Chryst as the coach. Neither of those times have been to Madison. And Penn State's won all of those games. I think he has a pretty decent idea of how he wants to play and how he thinks Wisconsin is going to play. And there's going to be some level of comfort there. The issue is that I think there's a big difference between a level of comfort and an ability to execute whatever you want to do out there. And if we know one thing about Wisconsin, it's that they're going to execute. So in my heart of hearts, I probably think Wisconsin is going to win. I think it's going to be a close game. I think that if Penn State is able to win, it's because they look like the kind of team that is able to live up to the various 4 and 5 stars they have everywhere. But it just seems like a safer bet that Wisconsin is going to win this game. I think they're something like 5.5 point favorites. Line is 50, something in that range of, like, what would that be, 27, 23, 28, 22. Like, just that general ballpark of football games sounds right. I don't think this is going to be a particularly beautiful game, but I think Wisconsin wins. I would also say ask me again on game day, because once we get to opening kick, I will be convinced that Penn State is going to win this one by 40.
You got to have that confidence no matter what. I agree with you. I was trying to write up our betting preview for the site, and I've been just sitting here going, man, oh man, that 5 points seems to be right on the spot in terms of the spread. So trying to figure out which way to write this up has been one that I've been battling with all day. But Bill, we appreciate you taking the time to hop on and talk about this game. It should be a fascinating matchup, and we really appreciate you coming on.
And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this game, Tyler. It's been great talking to you, buddy.
All right, Badger fans, that wraps up another episode of the podcast. As always, on Wisconsin.